Be seated. When you think about pigs, what are the first two things that come to your mind? No, not bacon and more bacon. What about clean and smart? Well, I really doubt that those were the first two things that popped into your mind as you were thinking about pigs. I know when I was in high school, and I showed up for the first day of a part-time job that a church member had offered me on a pig farm, I wasn't thinking clean and smart. In fact, on that frosty morning when I opened up the door to the farrowing barn, that's where all the cute little baby pigs are born, the smell just about knocked me backward. And all I could think of was, why did I agree to do this job? I wasn't thinking smart and clean. But as I came to find out, pigs really are clean animals. The reason that pigs wallow around in the mud is because they don't have too many sweat glands, and they have to find a way to cool themselves off, especially in hot temperatures. And how about smart? I didn't think of pigs as being that smart, but I came to find out, yeah, they are very smart. In fact, if you Google it, you'll find that pigs show up in the top 10 of the smartest animals in the planet. Even smarter than dogs. So why are we talking about pigs? Well, I want you to think about pigs being smart. And that's one end of the spectrum. And usually, on the opposite end of that spectrum are the animals that we're going to talk more about today, namely sheep. And the reason that we're going to talk about sheep is that the Bible calls us sheep throughout its pages. This week in chapel, we've been focusing on the Good Shepherd, on Jesus himself. And one of the things that our Good Shepherd has done for us is to give us under-shepherds, if you will, men whose responsibility it is to lead the sheep. You see, sheep really aren't that stupid. Sheep are pretty smart. But they do need to be led. And so our good shepherd, in watching out for us, has given us these under-shepherds, pastors, as we call them, to help lead us. And that brings us to our text for today. Toward the end of his first letter, Peter addresses these under-shepherds, elders, as he calls them, and he tells them some instructions about their work. Let's listen from 1 Peter chapter 5. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Thus far, the text. Now, you may be thinking, well, what does that have to do with me? After all, if you look in this room, the percentage of pastors or future pastors is not very large. So let's look at this text from another angle. Let's look at this text from this angle, that it tells you how to be a good sheep. First off, accept your pastor's leadership. If your pastor is acting according to what Peter says here, he's providing good and willing oversight for your spiritual life. Sure, he tells you what not to do, and he points out to you when you mess up. But he's only doing that because he's being a good shepherd, a good pastor. Would a shepherd willingly allow his sheep to wander off down a path at the end of which he knows that there's a lion or a wolf waiting? Would a decent shepherd allow his sheep to drink from water that's teeming with bacteria? Would he allow them to eat grass that's just been sprayed with toxic chemicals? Obviously not. So if your pastors are simply looking out for your spiritual welfare, why is it that you act like a rebellious sheep all too often? We heard the other day about sheep and how they have that pack mentality. They like to stay together, primarily for protection. But sometimes we take that concept and we make it something that it's not supposed to be. We use it for protection of ourselves. We say that it's easier to be sinning when we have a whole group of us that are sinning together. We can justify our sin more easily that way, or at least make it seem like it's not that big a deal. But sin is a big deal. Sin will land you in hell if you don't do anything about it. And that's part of what your pastor is trying to tell you. But he doesn't just dwell on that bad news. He doesn't just dwell on the law telling you what you've done that's wrong. He also gives you the gospel. He uses the law so that he can tell you the gospel, the good news of forgiveness through the Good Shepherd. Your pastor will always be there for you, reaching down to you when you're in that pit with his shepherd's crook of the message of forgiveness. He's going to tell you repeatedly, but necessarily, that Jesus is your Good Shepherd who laid down his life for you. He's going to tell you to constantly think about what God did for you in your baptism, that he has washed away all your sins. He's going to feed you with the very body and blood of the Good Shepherd for the forgiveness of your sins. He only has your best interests at heart. Keep listening to your pastor. Be a good sheep that way. Accept his leadership because he only has your best interests in mind. He only wants the same thing that you ultimately want, and that's for you to end up in heaven. The other thing that you need to do, according to this text, to be a good sheep is to follow your pastor's example. Now, in the New Testament, there are many qualifications that are laid out for pastors. St. Paul in 1 Timothy and in Titus has long lists of qualifications for pastors, and we don't have time to go through all of those. But here in 1 Peter, let's look at one thing that he does list that pastors are to do in which we can follow his example. He says that to these shepherds, these elders, when they are shepherding their flock, that's you, that they are not to be domineering over those in their charge. A faithful shepherd, a faithful pastor is not a dictator, not even a benevolent one. He doesn't demand that his flock do exactly as he says. Rather, he's patient. Just think of how often he has to chase after straying sheep. He's patient and he's gentle and he leads by serving. Is that an example for you to follow? Well, hopefully that's a silly question. We all could use a little more patience in our lives as we deal with annoying professors, as we deal with annoying students, as we deal with annoying roommates or spouses, as we deal with annoying parents, as we deal with annoying children, as we get impatient with God for not answering our prayers when we want and how we want. And the list could go on and on. And how about gentle? How gentle are we in carrying out the various vocations in our lives? Are we gentle with those annoying people or situations in our lives? Are we gentle when we react to being wronged or when we point out to the person who has wronged us what he has done? Are we gentle when we express an opinion that's different from our parents? Again, we could go on and on. Your pastor follows the example of the Good Shepherd, of Jesus himself, the ultimate shepherd, as he leads you as part of his flock. He wants you not just to be in that flock, but to be in the flock in the Holy Christian Church now and into the next life. Be a good sheep. The Good Shepherd and his under-shepherd care deeply for you. Amen. Please rise. Let us pray. Dear Lord, our incredible Good Shepherd, you laid down your life for us and have provided us with forgiveness, life, and salvation. We praise and thank you for your sacrificial and gracious work. You have also provided us with pastors to serve as your under-shepherds. Thank you for watching out for us in this way, and help us ever to be good sheep in your flock. In your precious name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.